This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Is it a Soccer Podcast Day or is it working a TV station day? I don't know.
I'm just drunk.
Oh, God.
Not really, but I kind of feel that way. You know how you get punch drunk sometimes?
Yeah.
Like after a long day and there's just overstimulation?
Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I can imagine. For those who don't always listen to our radio station, 97.1 The Fan, today was a little bit of an odd day because we had the head coach of Ohio State football in for like an hour between Morning Juice, Beam Show, and Bishop and Friends, which is the show that's, as we're recording, still on the air. And so between you doing the interview with Ryan Day, which is, I'm sure, a beast in its own right of just trying to get all these questions
in. He's a nice fellow.
Very nice guy. But
nice of him to give us some time. And just a normal guy.
And then our YouTube stream, which, by the way, if you're interested in listening to our daily shows, they're on our YouTube stream. You can go find our YouTube channel. Just search 97.1 The Fan.
How's that going for you?
Well, because it's a third person in the studio, there's cameras involved, but we don't have like a director who directs and changes these cameras based on who's in there. Yeah. So today I'm playing Kristoff like in Truman Show, just running around like with my little hat on. So we were just about ready to start recording and I realized, oh, their interview is ending. So I got to change the cameras back so that the live stream, you know, tries to look somewhat not janky.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Now we're focused on the wonderful world of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, it didn't let any of us down this past weekend with any matches that involved the Columbus Crew. We will talk about the fallout from Hell is Real. We will also talk about one of our old friends on this show, someone we've talked about quite a bit, joining up with a rival in CONCACAF. And some discussion of this little thing called Decision Day, which is coming up this weekend, Beam. And it involves a little bit of drama still.
Yeah.
But there's still some drama to be wrung out of this one, and I'm excited about that.
And playoffs coming to the Premier League.
Yeah. Get ready for that. Should be fun. Beamer, other than the last, I don't know, couple hours, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been all right. I think the reason why I'm punch drunk is like, yeah, you do a show, and you know this, like your daily routine is different than mine. Like I come in, I wake up, go into the studio. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. Try to get some last minute stuff done on prep and just, you know, figuring out what we're going to do. How do we kill off 3 hours, basically?
Right.
That is full of fun and drama.
Yeah.
And so I come into the studio today. No big deal. Like a normal day. I did have trouble sleeping last night. Well, I didn't have trouble sleeping last night. William decided last night was a good night for him to act a fool. So it's like 10 o'clock. By the way, Maris has, she's been taking this online class to get like continuing education and she's doing computer coding. So like she's doing a computer coding class through Bowling Green and that's been like a beast because she's trying to finish up the school year, trying to plan for stuff like through the middle of next week. Their last day is Thursday next week. And then on the top of that, now she's like doing like a very heavily involved computer programming class.
And you have a barely just over 1 year old.
Yeah.
And then you have a whatever you are. It's also a
barely
giant
just
man
a
child.
1 year old mentally. It's kind of where I'm at today.
Right. Yeah.
And so last night, you know, Mare's gassed. She's like 9:15. She's like, I got to go to bed. The night before that, she's up to like 11:30, like doing stuff. I'm in bed before that. And so last night around like 10 o'clock, William starts like coughing and crying and stuff. I'm like, all right, what do I do? Go and give him the pacifier. 15 minutes after that, kind of coughing a little bit, crying again. 15 minutes after that, same thing. I'm like, I'm going to give you some Tylenol. Like that cough sounds pretty intense. So I'll give you some Tylenol. And usually that helps him sleep a little bit better. I kid you not, when I say that there is some sort of tracking device on me that when I hit my first blink of sleep, he's crying again.
Oh, like gosh. Just it's the
he's
worst.
Just as soon as I am so close to falling asleep, cry. And so that happened last night until like 12:30.
Oh, it's the worst feeling.
And I'm like, all right, well, finally, I just put a pillow over my head. I'm like, dude, you're gonna have to deal with it. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna have to just figure it out on your own. And luckily, I think after that point, he finally fell asleep. And then he come in today, like I'm getting ready to do the show. Fine, I've done lack of sleep before.
Like
it's just kind of normal. And then just the craziness that was today.
Your last hour of this show, I'm sure, was nuts because all these people who normally aren't here were suddenly here and in your face.
Well, that, and that's fine. Like having Ryan Day in here, like that was great. That was exciting.
Not
like,
him.
If it was just,
but I'm
if
saying
it was
like,
just Shark and me and Bob and him and just like a normal morning where it's like you and Chops and Reeser. Like if there was just, you know, six people in here like there usually is, but there were like 40 different people.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, everybody was here. And I will say this for Ryan Day. I didn't realize he just showed up. I thought there would be like assistant, no, like
yeah, just,
media guy
yeah,
and like handlers. No, it's just him rolling in, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Probably going over to the Woody after this or wherever he goes. But yeah, it's, but to your point, I can understand how it's overstimulating. It's a lot. So, but we got plenty of soccer to get to.
How
so
are we'll, you? I mean, you're navigating the whole,
it's fine. It's the lot I've chosen to like, to just like, I don't just work here. You know what I mean? Like there's some people here who are like, hey man, I just work here. It's like, fortunately or not, I love what I do.
Anybody, everybody, somebody, and nobody?
Yep, that's exactly right. I am all those people and then some. And I know exactly what you're talking about, and if no one else does, that is okay. But I, today it was like text messages. There was emails going last night. It was, again, to make sure we capture Ryan Day's essence as I get. But then now the behind-the-scenes stuff is, when are these videos going to post? Where are we posting them? To what degree? Yeah, so we're all in between all that. I'm like, hey, guys, I have to go do this podcast with my co-host who's been doing 3 hours of radio and is kind of tired and has a one-year-old to go home to. Can I please get to that?
So, I think we're both a little frayed right now.
Yeah.
This is a nice outlet for me and you, I think.
It is.
At least
I love
it is
it.
For me.
Well, it is for me for sure. And I just, there are times in my life where I thought, you know, someday if I ever make it in radio or I ever get to do like a daily show where I, as you probably thought too, like I could do a daily show, my name's on the show. I figured there would be like six or seven other people that would be in charge of handling all the BS. And that's not how it works.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. I can't imagine a guy like Dom Tiberi on 10 TV.
Oh, God.
That guy's been doing this for 40 years. And they went from where it used to be, they had a plane. They would fly out. They had so many people they would send from 10 TV to a bowl game. They would fly out on their own 10 TV and 1460 WBNS plane to whatever, the Rose Bowl, wherever they were going, and there'd be 30 people on this flight. All these people involved in the broadcast. Now, they send Dom and, like, Adam King, and then that's it. And then those two guys run the camera for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, if one of them's not on camera, the other one's doing the camera. And if both of them are on camera, they've set it up and hit record, and then they get done with that, and they hit stop, and then they have to edit it. I can't imagine having, like, you had all that minions of people that helped you,
and
they
gone.
Just rip it away. Yeah, at least we never had it, so we're not used to it.
Right.
But again.
But now I don't want it.
No, I don't want it. I like being a DIY.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. All right. Hell is real. It was real.
Oh,
it was hell.
It was awful.
Crew lose 2-1 to FC Cincinnati. So here's the storyline for me coming out of this one. That is the MLS version of the Columbus Crew. Let's not worry about the continental version of them.
Yeah.
The MLS version of this team has now, they're winless in what, 7, I think?
Sounds right.
I mean, they've tied a bunch of games and then lost this one.
They don't stink. They're just,
well, what I will say
malaise.
Is, I will say that game is, they could not have picked a worse time to have their worst performance of the season. I mean, I guess you could argue maybe there was one or two other games this year that rivaled that one.
Charlotte was bad.
Yeah, Charlotte was bad and
that's
weird.
That's on the road.
But it's
weird.
On the road on a bad field with all kinds of weirdness attached to it. There was, that was also not great. What I'm worried about with this one is the Crew looked like they could not play their style. They were like a step slow with everything they wanted to do. And I guess you credit Cincinnati in part for that, for playing good defense and for keeping the ball away from them a bit. But when the Crew would get the ball, it instantly seemed like there was a rush to get the ball into the offense and into what they like to do. And that's not the Crew's style of play. Their style of play is kick it around for 10 minutes and make you get antsy. The Crew were antsy during that entire game, I felt like, and never got settled in. And that led to poor play, bad connections, step slow on a lot of things, misplays of easier passes that they should have. And then you sub off Aiden Morris, who was dealing with an injury,
and it was just
Lucha Acosta has a Lucha Acosta 2 minutes that killed you.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as Aiden Morris came off, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We had talked about in the lead up to this game, like when Yakubo when he went off against the Crew in the playoffs, how it's like you felt that. Like you were the receiving end of like, oh, now's the time, like you go for it.
And he was right in the middle of everything in this game, Kubo was.
And I feel like that was Aiden Morris in this game. It's like Aiden came off, and then all of a sudden it's like Cincinnati kind of smelled blood in the water, and they pounced. Like, give them credit. They're a good team. We said that. Nothing have we ever said on this program other than when they've won the wooden spoons.
Yes.
Have we not given them credit for being good? They're good.
They were good last year. They won the Supporters' Shield.
They're good.
But that, to me, there's no, like, I know what you're saying, and you're not wrong. Like, we weren't sitting here saying they're a crap team. I just thought, I thought if all things are equal and if everybody plays their best game, then the Crew would come out on top.
I agree with that 1,000%.
The Crew played a terrible game, and I cannot say that that is not the fault of Cincinnati. I can't say there's some other bigger thing here. FC Cincinnati, one of their toughest opponents they've played all year, caused them to play their worst game. That is what is worrying for me, is if it's causal from Cincinnati. If it's not just, oh, they had a bad day and it happened to be against Cincinnati.
Let me ask you this question. And I don't think this is the case, but I'm trying to find answers here. Could it have been the case where, and again, this is me hypothetically just speaking this out loud, you come off of a monster win in Monterey, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just a monster win. You got some time off. You're thrown right back into Hell is Real, like MLS side. It's going to be your last home game for 6 weeks. Place is on fire. You were there. I mean, atmosphere seemed to be
incredible.
Pretty damn good.
It's incredible.
At least it was from the TV that I was watching at it. You were there in person. I almost wondered, because you had mentioned, like, it took them not a while to get into their offense, but when they did, like, they were really kind of pressing. I almost wonder if they, because there's a fine line between, like, overpressing and trying to like, want a goal too bad. I almost wonder if they got into that kind of a situation, like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take out the knife and we're going to, like, stab them early.
Right, right.
And so I almost wonder if that, and then they got close a couple of times at the beginning. Cincinnati obviously, like, had their chances, better chances. And I almost wonder if they, because they didn't get the goal early because they were trying so hard to get into that offense and it was stifling, if it did just bog them down and everything just kind of came crashing down on them.
Maybe the way, because I don't know, like, I'm saying offense, but I guess that's probably not accurate. What I mean is
their,
like,
system,
their movement, the way that they, when they have the ball, usually, as you know, the Crew are more, they're very deliberate with just sitting around and waiting you out.
It seemed rushed.
Yes. And instead it seemed like, we got the ball, let's make a couple of cursory back and forth passes along the back line, and then let's get it up to someone in the midfield, and then that person needs to be blasting it up over the back of the defense there and try to see if someone can run onto it. Maybe that was a bit of tactical decision making from Wilfried Nancy. Maybe he thought they were, you know, going to be able to do that, but that was wrong. I will say, I think everyone had a bad game there, including Nancy. I don't think, again, the Morris sub may have been influenced by, you know, injury, clearly. And I don't think that shouldn't excuse Darlington Nagbe, right? Nagby's got to make plays there too, and he's got to do his best as well. Between the two of them, it's tough to handle Lucha Acosta, but not having Mo Farsi, I think, probably didn't help either, especially if Morris is not able to go. That's just one guy who's such a stalwart defensively, I feel like. Not that Zawadzki's bad or anything.
Just different players.
Yeah, and it, I just feel like there's something that, yeah, probably not having Farsi out there with then having to take Morris off in the 70th minute, whenever it was, not great. So all in all, a good day. I was talking about this with Chris Blaine, my buddy, because he helped me find a ticket, and then we ended up going. I went with him and his friend Chris and Jeff. They're all in a band together called Tacacs, TAKACS. We talked about them last week. You should go check them out, Tacacs Thrash on Twitter. But I hung out with those guys and Jeff's girlfriend, Asha. Very, like, just a good group. We had a blast. We're hanging out with even more of their friends before the game, drinking. We smoked cigars. We were having a good time. And then we walked over to the game and walked and saw the funeral for Gary the Lion that they did, that Nordeca tailgate did, and hung out with the GCG bag guys for a little bit. And then walked in the stadium, and it was just raucous. It was everything you want in atmosphere. And then by halftime, I'm sitting there going, I hope we can get out of here with a tie.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly felt at halftime, if we can get a point out of this, I'll feel good. That's how bad I thought that first half. Mm-hmm. Not that they were playing poorly, but I thought they put together a solid effort and couldn't score.
Yeah.
Now I'm worried, because that gave Cincinnati got all the momentum, I think, coming out of halftime, and said, hey, all we have to do is put together a solid run of play here and we can steal 3 points. And they did.
And Cincinnati almost had the goal right before halftime, too.
That's right.
Like, as the whistle was
hanging on. Hanging on, right?
Yeah, they kind of, I mean, they bullied you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And so I don't know what the answer is there other than, like, I'm not going to keep making the excuse of tired legs. You had 10 days off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're professional totally. Soccer players. You're obviously all very good at this. You know,
you're very fit.
Yeah. So, full disclosure, if you're listening to this maybe on Thursday or Friday and you're going, why aren't you talking about Montreal? Well, we're recording this on Wednesday prior to the Montreal game. We don't know the result in Montreal. We don't know the result in Chicago.
Lost
obviously.
3-0.
God, I hope not. That's, again, and it couldn't, of all the times to now have to go up against a guy who knows your system well.
Of course.
Now you got back-to-back like teams that are very familiar with you.
Yeah.
And Montreal doesn't have the firepower that Cincinnati does, but they have the coach who does know all the tactics.
And it's
all
also at their place, which
tendencies.
Is another weird place to go.
Yeah. So you got two road games, and, you know, again, then it – I'm still on the get to CONCACAF and win that championship, and that will be enough for everything else.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't want to get to some place where we're sitting, you know, eighth in MLS Cup playoffs going into the summer. Like,
no.
Or ninth or whatever. I don't want to be there. You got to get some points back that you've lost. Just no doubt. You got to go get some road points here. Can't just be settling for ties on the road.
I think they win tonight. I think they bounce back.
I hope so. Speaking of going up north to Canada, let's change gears. How about this? I didn't see this one coming, but the rumors had been flying around the last couple of days, and now it's official. Former Leeds United and RB Leipzig manager Jesse Marsh, the new manager of Canada's men's national team, according to the CSA, Canada Soccer Association. He will immediately join on a deal through the end of July 2026. We'll lead Canada at the Copa America later this year, so obviously this is going to put him right into the world. He's their head coach for the World Cup, basically, yep. Barring a disaster this summer. So he said this team is going to be something that the entire Canadian community is going to be excited about, ready to support. We're going to play with power and inspiration. We're going to go for it. I can't wait to get started. So there you go.
I think this is a direct shot at the U.S.
Of course it is.
Obviously, they had the situation with Greg Berhalter where he was on like paid leave and then his contract ran out, and U.S. Soccer and the Federation and all the powers that be, including Greg Berhalter's brother, decided that it would be great to have him back as coach. And we had talked about that if that position did open up, which it did technically because Greg Berhalter had run out of contract. So that spot was open.
Yeah.
We had talked about guys who we potentially wanted to see manage the national team. And I think you and I both, we have a lot of fun with these discussions. We're like, Jose Mourinho, that would be objectively like the funniest thing in the world. Or like, who could you possibly go get? Bring in that guy who was coaching Saudi Arabia, right? Like, bring in that guy.
His name was. Oh.
Henry something.
Handsome dude. Is that the guy we're talking about?
Yeah.
Gosh, what is it? I know. I'll look it up. I forget.
Whatever his name is, like, we were having fun with that. But I think you and I had both landed on, if there's going to be someone to replace Greg Berhalter who you actually wanted to see, who would it be? And I think you and I were all right with the idea of Jesse Marsh taking over that. And then we got the news that Greg Berhalter was going to retake over the coaching position for the U.S. And I think with what Jesse Marsh has been saying about the Federation and the not-so-shy comments that he's been making.
Yeah.
And you also look at this generation of Canadian soccer player, it is very good. Jonathan mm-hmm. David, right? Alphonso Davies, we talked about last week, scored a ripper in the Bernabeu before they had their hearts ultimately ripped out. Jason yeah. Russell Rowe, is he going to be in this cycle for the World Cup? Like, you would have to think if he's playing like he has the last couple of weeks for the crew, he can be good, obviously, in a critical
He'll be on the radar for sure.
By the time that you know that comes around in 2026. But I think this was a tactical move by Jesse Marsh, the double middle finger saying, you know what, you guys didn't want me. I'm going to be in your same qualifying regions, even though we don't have to qualify. You're going to have to live with me in this decision.
It's weird because, I mean, honestly, Canada, you could say in the last World Cup cycle, I think had the much better run of play leading into the World Cup, to speak nothing of the actual World Cup once they got there. But by the way, the guy you were talking about was Irv Renard, the Saudi Arabia coach.
That's right.
But yeah, I'm sad to see Jesse Marsh coaching for Canada, because I think he will get a lot out of that team. I think he's a very good coach. I obviously am with you. I think there's a lot of personal things going into mm-hmm. this. I think it will be Jesse Marsh versus Greg Berhalter. I mean, the only thing he could have done to even more make his point was to go take the Mexico job if that was open, right? Like, that's,
and I think he would have if it would have been open.
Yeah, I think he was ready after not getting the U.S. job, after he'd done everything that, I mean, his resume over Berhalter's is better in all facets. I'm not trying to besmirch Greg Berhalter here. I'm just saying he's managed teams at higher levels than Greg Berhalter has. Greg Berhalter has, you know, been a manager in lower division Europe leagues, not the top three or four. And he has also managed an MLS team and done very well with that. We obviously know that firsthand. But Jesse Marsh did MLS teams many years ago and then said, now watch me go over to Europe.
Yeah.
And managed, you know, teams that were eligible for Champions League play. In RB Leipzig's case, they had Champions League mm-hmm. games that he was managing.
Was in the Red Bull system?
Yeah, was up going through that. And then clearly after that, you know, managing at Leeds, it was good for a bit,
yep.
like it is in England all the time, right? You have a run of success.
Yeah, the manager bump.
Then eventually you find if you can really do it. And I think he was a little above his depth there, but also didn't have the roster that.
Yeah, it wasn't a favorable situation for him there. No.
But either way, I think he's a very good manager, and I think, you know, would have been a dynamic coach for the U.S. Now Canada gets to find out exactly. I mean, we're going to see that experiment up close.
Yeah.
Right? Right next door. So, yeah, I'm not terribly looking forward to that matchup. All right,
I've got a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
Better off chances in a one-on-one game or in the World Cup, the U.S. with Jesse Marsh or Canada with Greg Berhalter?
I don't think that's a...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to rip Greg Berhalter. I think Berhalter's system doesn't mesh as well with international players. I think Marsh will be
Canada
much
will be
better
more
at that.
Suited for Greg Berhalter.
And when I say international players, I just mean players who don't regularly, they're not drilled as often. You know, yeah. like you can't yeah. have 6 months of drilling these guys into a system
Correct.
like Greg Berhalter kind of needs. And I know he's adjusted his stuff and he's adjusted what he does. And these players are all flexible and they're used to moving around. But I just think the system he's going to run in Canada is going to probably be a little bit more attuned to what is needed to get results when you have guys only around for a couple weeks at a time.
Agreed.
So, yeah, but again, I will find out.
I just hate.
I hope I'm wrong.
I just hate that we. Maybe you're not going to rip Greg Berhalter. I will. I hate that we went back and did that.
I don't understand why we did. I mean, you saw it.
You got a cup.
Dude,
like,
and again,
you got a full cycle. Why do it again?
I don't know. It felt like we had no better ideas and or the Federation just. I don't know.
Just sit here and say, we drew against England. That's a big win.
Well, here's what I will say. I think the Federation looked at it and said, we shouldn't fire a guy over allegations that.
Yeah, but you can't fire him or let him go because of performance.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, take all that Reyna family drama out of it and the stuff from 30 years ago. Take all that away. Did you think the result coming out of that World Cup was good enough to bring him back? And shockingly, there are a lot of people around, like, fans of U.S. soccer who say, yeah, it's amazing we did as well as we did. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Are you watching the same, are you looking at the same guys on the roster that I am?
I am sick of feeling like this U.S. national team is lucky to be in the World Cup. And man, if we could even just manage a draw against some of these bottom half of the World Cup type of teams, then that's really great. No, I feel like the U.S. should be progressing toward being one of the top 10 teams in the world.
I agree with that 1,000%.
And I know what will happen is people will point to, like, results against Mexico. Are you aware of Mexico's issues right now?
Yeah.
Their soccer federation has been in shambles for a while. A
couple of years.
Their like, decision-making as to who to hire and who to bring in for players, all that stuff has been a joke. They have been a shell of their former selves. They are going through their own crisis with,
yeah.
we've got young talent, we've got veterans, but we have this middle area that we never developed, and a lot of guys didn't pan out that we thought would, and development is stagnated. They've got those same issues, and we're like, every time the U.S. beats Mexico, all the Berhalter stands come out and are like, there you go, beat Mexico, there you go. And it's like, right, but that should not be the measuring stick anymore for what this team should be, because Mexico is not a top 10 team in the world. Like, maybe at times they felt like they were. Previously,
yeah.
They're not there right now. So, no, I mean, they've got their own issues. Aren't they still running out Memo Ochoa? Like, are they've been trying to, like, mm-hmm. still use him as a goalkeeper? Like, they have their own issues of not having good ideas. Yeah. And we're looking at them going, well, we're better than them. Okay, we're both going to get smoked in the World Cup if that's the attitude.
It's not a good bar to have.
No, the only thing you can hope is that the players are able to grow into Greg's system. And again, the fact that, like, if you really believe Greg Berhalter's system is the best one in the world, the only thing that can help is having 6 years of learning it, I guess, over time. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way that – so a lot of these players will just be so familiar with it. It's like they've had that extrapolated, you know, training camp to get used to it. But, yeah, at some point, my fear is then once the team gets used to it, the world will too.
Yeah.
And then the world will game plan against it, and then you're screwed.
Like Louis Van Gaal did?
Yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like how we already saw a team with better players just easily overcome that system with no problems.
Netherlands, good. I mean,
yeah, very good. They're a top 10. I would say they're a top 10 federation when it comes to soccer. All the like year in, year out, they're in the top 10 with as far as talent, scheme, understanding, all that history. So anyway, good times. Jesse Marsh. This
I didn't want to get that fired up.
Well, here we are.
I just wanted to put the U.S. team on the back burner and not really think about them until they start loading up here for Copa. And
oh, I'm fully prepared that, like, the next time the U.S. and Canada play, the U.S. probably beat them. And then everyone will go, see? And it's like, all right, let's see what happens in the World Cup.
It's Canada.
Well, no, but it's also like, let them have a year with Jesse Marsh, and then let's find out what happens in the World Cup. You know, I mean, like, that's where the ultimate test of all this will come down to. And I'm nervous about that because I don't know about this U.S. national team.
I mean, we're going to get our ass kicked by Colombia. I mean, just.
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope not. But they will want revenge, given the last time it was on U.S. soil. Obviously, the U.S. got the win there on the own goal. So that's, 30-plus years in the making. So, yeah. All right. Decision Day breakdown when we come back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Tweet us at Bone Beam United. And while we're talking about the YouTube channel, you should check it out. We don't always put all of our episodes up there. Sometimes they end up on YouTube. We don't have cameras for our show, maybe someday. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. So in case you want to check that out, you can. But of course, like I said, tweet us at Bone Beam United. We're always there to occasionally respond to some tweets when we think about it. And that's about as good as we're doing right now. So let's talk about this weekend. It is Decision Day.
Yep.
And we actually have drama. Finally, at the top, there is a chance someone other than Manchester City. Okay, I'm saying mathematically, there is a chance someone other than Manchester City could win the Premier League this year. But that is mathematical. It feels like almost only in that spirit, in that spirit alone. So here's what we've got. You have four teams that are obviously locked into Champions League.
Congrats to you, by the way.
It's the first time that I have picked a team before the Premier League season and said I'm rooting for this team. Yep. My team, Sunderland, they're not coming up next year either.
Back again in the championship?
Yeah, they're back. Oh, they were like mid-table this year. Not their best season. So in the meantime, every time that they have not been in the Premier League, I pick another Premier League team to root for. And every year it's been teams that get relegated. So this year I picked Aston Villa at the behest of quite a few listeners.
Yep.
I was even sent a jersey by one of them. Michael. And so I got all in, and what they did has been nothing short of amazing. They made a Champions League run. They were in Europe, you know, conference competition this year. Yeah. Now they are in Champions League next year. 68 points. They finished with Crystal Palace. But that is all done and dusted because Tottenham in fifth has 63 and there's only one game left. So that's over. Now Aston Villa officially into Champions League, and that's pretty cool.
So that was the big part yesterday. Of yesterday being Tuesday, there was still one match to play. Manchester City and Tottenham needed to make up a game.
Right? And it was 0-0 at halftime.
It was 0-0 at halftime. And then in the 50th minute or whatever, it's just the easiest goal of Erling Haaland's career. Like, God. Spurs defending just shambles. I think it was Grealish or Foden on the left-hand side, little balloon ball. De Bruyne comes right across, right in the middle, slip, easy pass. Right across the face of goal, Haaland gets it to 1-0. I'm like, I'm just thinking about Thanos at that time.
Yeah.
They are inevitable. Like, they were always going to get that goal. And then Jeremy Doku right at the end of the game, blatant foul right inside the box. He goes down. Haaland makes it 2-0 on the penalty. They go on to win. So what was at stake for that game? It was such an interesting dichotomy, and I was kind of explaining that to Meredith. Like, she's like, why is this game important? I'm like, well, one, it's important for City on the track to a championship, but I'm like, the interesting part in this is if they draw – City and Arsenal will go into Decision Day tied on points.
Yeah.
They will go in tied on points.
And Arsenal had the goal differential. I think that was the next tiebreaker, right?
Correct. Arsenal had a 3-goal differential. So they would have been tied on points and Arsenal with a 3-goal differential. So that would have been awesome. I'm like, but on the other hand, of all that going on with the title race, I'm like, Spurs' big rival is Arsenal. So, like, there's a lot of people in the stands today at this game that want no part of Arsenal winning a title and want their own team to lose the game.
And then again, Tottenham had a very slim chance if they had, let's say, tied the game, they would have had 64 points. They still wouldn't have been able to catch. They would have had to beat Manchester City to give them 66 points to have even a chance at catching
Villa.
Aston
would have
Villa.
Had to lose to Crystal Palace.
And they would have had to win that game, their game as well, which I forget who they're playing, but Tottenham, I forget who they're ending with. But in either case,
Sheffield. So
they so they probably would have
won that
you would
game.
Think, have a good chance at that. But so that was, so they were literally saying our chances at an outside shot at Champions League vanish.
Yeah.
And we don't just win this game against a team that we would like to defeat. All of that we would rather not do than see us do all that and give Arsenal a much better chance of winning the Premier League. Now, again,
did you see Big Ange yesterday?
So yeah, because like they were chanting.
They were chanting and like they were yelling at the Tottenham bench. Like the Spurs fans were yelling at the bench, like, lose.
Yeah.
Lose this game. Big Ange turned around and gave these fans like a pretty stern talking to.
Yeah.
I'm like, just, it was, have to be such a weird atmosphere to be in that building yesterday.
Well, I saw him after the game, asked about that, and he said, I don't care what the fans think. You know, we're here to win and all that stuff. And rightfully so. Yeah. I mean, and by the way, I mean, we don't need to completely put a bow on this, but since their season basically is now just one game, the big Ange experiment, I think in year one, you can say
success
has been a success. Yes. Did they get to the ultimate for them goal? I think, you know, you can say their ultimate goal is to win the league. Okay. Their ultimate goal is to get back into Champions League. Didn't happen this time, but they were right there, you know, so not that that's any consolation. They will have European competition next year. I think you can build off that. And
they just were really bad down the stretch.
Yeah, they were. But, and that's the only thing that I think you can start to worry about with him is down the stretch, did the league start to figure him out a bit?
Yeah.
You hope that's not the case if you're a Tottenham fan. But as far as the top four now, like we said, Aston Villa is in. Liverpool with 79 points. In
safely in.
Jurgen Klopp's final run there. His final game will be, I put Liverpool versus Liverpool, so that is wrong.
They have Wolves with decision.
Wolves, that's right. And they host, do they host that?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's at Anfield. So it's his big send-off.
So he'll have his huge send-off there at the end against Wolves.
Before our guy Arnie Slot takes over.
That's right. Yeah. Is that official?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's right.
Over.
That is right. That's right. Yeah. I forgot. I saw that and I meant to bring that up to you. And then
we had talked about him a couple of years ago. I forget what job opened up, but we
maybe
were talking about Arnie Slot.
Maybe it was a Manchester United discussion. It feels like it would have been.
Maybe it was.
I know that his name has popped up around Manchester
before
United
Ten Hag.
At least once.
Well, Ten Hag out. Maybe Arnie Slot in after he gets sacked from Liverpool now.
You're already counting those chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm kind of in on Ten Hag out, too. I wasn't in the middle of the year. I'm kind of done with him.
I can understand. I can understand why.
Did you see what an embarrassment they had? So they lost to Arsenal over the weekend. I mean, no problem losing to them.
1-0 with the rain and everything.
Did you see the gigantic like waterfall that was coming off the stadium?
I
it's
saw
like,
the
flooding.
The Man U waterfall thing that was trending on Twitter, I saw even. It was
said it's
just
the fourth highest waterfall like in Great Britain. And someone said, at least they can come fourth in something. I was like, damn it, that's a really good
that's
joke.
That's such a good, man, that is the.
Yeah.
The banter is always good when you're going against like the rival.
Of course.
But the banter against your own team
it's
unparalleled, especially like in soccer, I feel like, just because you spend so much time watching these teams. There's so many games. You can develop such an inside track. And if you know the inside stuff, man, some of the crackbacks are pretty great. But Manchester City, Arsenal, here's how it sets up. Arsenal is hosting or on the road to Everton, I forget. But they're playing
they're
Everton.
Both at home.
Both at home. Okay. These so Arsenal has Everton with 86 points. So they obviously need to win. Manchester City, meanwhile, has, as we talked about, Wolves. Mm-hmm. They're on 88 points. Now, here's the interesting thing. A win for Arsenal gives them 3 points. That tells me that's 89.
Yep.
If Tottenham, Manchester City ties, they would also be on 89 points.
Yep.
And with a tie, the goal differential right now for Arsenal is +1.
Oh, yeah.
So a tie would mean no change in that for Manchester City. And obviously, if Arsenal wins, they would add to their goal differential.
Yeah.
So there is not just a Manchester City lose, Arsenal win. That's clearly Arsenal wins the champion. They win the
draw
the Premier
and a win by Arsenal gives Arsenal the title.
Yes. So more drama than just, oh, well, Manchester City, they have to lose and lose by like 3 goals.
No.
I mean, it's very much a possibility from a mathematics standpoint. Like you said, though, is it a possibility when you're going against Thanos where all they need to do is win their game and it's done and they all know this and there's no doubt about what they need to do against a side like in Wolves?
Sorry, West Ham. Liverpool are playing Wolves.
Why did I say West? I'm saying West Ham I'm sorry. I'm saying Wolves, and I even wrote down West Ham, but I just looked down and saw a W and said, oh, yeah, Wolves. That must be what it was. West Ham, actually, yeah. Makes more sense.
Hammers.
Yeah, okay, got it. Either way, you have to have Manchester City. If they lose or if they tie this game,
yeah.
Arsenal has a very real shot to win the Premier League.
I just don't see City lose.
That's it. Wolves.
See them.
It's. I feel like the LeBron meme right now with the cigarette, where it's like West Ham, Wolves don't matter. Like,
yeah. Gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives a shit? Doesn't matter. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Like, they're Manchester City. It would be shocking if they don't win this game like 3-0.
It would have been shocking if they drew yesterday.
Yeah, it would have been shocking yesterday, and it will be shocking this weekend if they do. But that is the drama that sets forth for you on Sunday at 11 a.m. So all the teams in action, as you know, on Decision Day, 11 a.m. Should be a blast.
You know, the last time that City tied a game in the Premier League?
I don't.
Was the 0-0 draw against Arsenal. The last time they tied a game in the Premier League before that was the 1-1 draw against Liverpool. So both teams in the title race. The last time that they dropped 3 points, the last time that they dropped points was in February against Chelsea. The last time that City outright lost a game was back in December to Aston Villa. Hmm. That's the last time.
That's a pretty nice little thing for the villains to keep in their hat.
That's the last time they lost a game was back all the way in December.
Crazy, man. No, it's we know that what has been built, regardless of the outcome of this weekend, there's no denying that Manchester City, I believe, is like, it's them and Real Madrid for the two best teams on the continent, in my mind.
Yeah.
Sorry to Borussia Dortmund. I'm not trying to.
Dortmund can't win that Champions League game either.
What do you mean? What'd you say?
You said that the best two teams on the continent are City and Real Madrid.
Yeah.
We know that Dortmund, you said sorry to Dortmund.
Well, I don't anticipate them winning that game.
I don't
game.
Either, but that's not saying that you can't win a one-off. I'm saying over 38 games in a season, it's like, yes, they are obviously the best. Doesn't mean that Dortmund can't win a one-off game against Real Madrid coming
up
in the Champions
League.
Dude,
my brain is so fried. I thought you said, like, well, they can't win it. Like, I thought you were saying, like, they're not in it. Or I'm like, wait, did I forget? Did I forget that Borussia Dortmund somehow? We just had this West Ham Wolves thing. I'm all discombobulated. All right. Now I see what you're saying. Right. Of course, they could win Champions League,
yeah.
And I still wouldn't feel like Borussia Dortmund is the best team in Europe. It's between Real Madrid. Of all the soccer we've watched all year long, it's between those two teams. But nothing changes with this result this weekend, right? City is three out of four at worst of the Premier League.
At best, 4 out of 4. At really best, 6 out of 7.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Pep has built a machine that is hard to... It's hard to quantify. And I know, again, you say that Pep built it with some money that is kind of unprecedented in soccer. Also agreed. I fully agree
with
you.
Also 115 illegal charges against them.
Also, yes. Also that. There's all kinds of rule breaking, but you know what? Does anybody care if at the end of the day you're getting another parade, another trophy, and another... No. No one's... like. There's
Everton cares. They're looking at City and be like, hey, we got 2 charges and we're docked like 8 points. These guys have 115. What's going on with them?
It almost seems like that system is not fair. A little bit.
You mean to tell me the FIFA fair play system
is not fair? It almost seems like that's a poorly named system. But, you know what, though?
Just any chances for you that...
Well, you know what? If Everton's mad about it, they can lay down against Arsenal and at least help them.
Right.
If you're really that mad about it, I'm sure they won't. But, I mean... I think the chances that Manchester City does anything other than win by 2 goals or more is I would not bet on it.
No.
I'll put it that way. So I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Arsenal kicks ass. I'm rooting for Arsenal.
Now I am.
Gunners fans, I'm with you. Like, I am.
I wanted United to beat them like last weekend.
Yeah, but now
don't. Yeah, no, of course not.
No, and I want to see City just not get their 4th in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking with my co-host, Common Man, and Our producer, Panama Ted.
Big Arsenal guy.
And Mike said, I have a dilemma here because I have, you know, Panama Ted on one side rooting for Arsenal. And then I have, Noel Gallagher or whatever, you know, from Oasis rooting for Manchester City. Whichever one is the bigger, I forget who's the.
Liam, I think.
Whichever one's the big City fan. I'm sure they both are, but whatever. And he's like, I have this like guy who made all this music that I like. And I'm like, well, if it's any consolation, he's had a lot of things to cheer about recently being a City fan. So. I think he'll be okay.
Give it to Ted.
Yeah, Ted
hasn't had anything good happen to him in a while.
Arsenal fans need that. Come on. Now, finally, before we go, this is a tweet that we saw from, I believe it's the MLS memes account.
Okay.
And it was, I retweeted it because I just thought it was something interesting to talk about. But I just thought it was funny. They said, you know, if the Premier League was like Major League Soccer, and they tweeted out a bracket of like the playoffs, mm-hmm. what the playoffs would look like if they were doing that. Which
2024 Audi Premier League Cup.
Yeah, I saw it. Yes, that's right. The Audi was a nice touch on there with the sponsorship for MLS Cup. So they had this bracket, which we don't have to go through, but just the idea of that made me laugh and then made me think, you know what, though? Would you put it past the powers that be at some point in the next 10 years to decide that the Premier League needs a playoff?
No.
I mean, we would all complain about it. At least I know you would.
Yeah.
I would.
It's just not the way that it works over there.
It's not the thing we all like about it. Yeah. Like the thing we've all, one of the things that draws me to that is it's soccer seems very complicated in lots of ways to the onlooker who is not a, you know, a North American sports fan who's used to NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, et cetera. But one of the ways it is probably simpler than any sport to understand is every team in the Premier League plays everyone in their league home and away. And at the end of that, whoever gained the most points is just the champion.
Yeah.
Whether that is by 1 point or 50, they are the champion. It can be over 2 months before the season's over, but that's fair. That seems like the most equitable system where it measures the balance of your ability over an entire year. And obviously that favors teams that have very deep pockets who could have injuries and all these other things happen. Guys go out of form.
Your academy is better than some of the active rosters in the Premier League.
Yes. But that's where I could see the argument being made eventually by someone is to say, it's really not fair for these clubs that don't have $600 million to spend on a roster. Well, a playoff would even that up because maybe a team even with that roster is out of form compared to, say, a team that's like fourth or fifth that suddenly is like found it. They found something in the last couple months and they're
like
really
the crew,
making
like
a push.
The Crew last year.
Yeah, of course. We obviously know the Cincinnati fans are all about the Premier League system. They've told us multiple times how the Supporters Shield is a real thing, forgetting that the Crew won three of those before they even were a gleam in Gary the Lion's eye. But anyway, I don't think they will. I shouldn't say that. I think there is a chance they would do this. I would not like it. But the other thing I know very much is that we would all watch every single match.
Of course we would.
I will complain about it. It's just like now with college football and Peacock or Paramount Plus or whatever the thing is. We all complain about that with Champions League. Put them on Paramount Plus. Are you kidding me? You're putting this great match on Paramount Plus? Yeah, sucks.
I like, too, how they suckered you in because the first legs of the semifinal were on 10 TV, at least locally.
They're on CBS, right.
If you want to watch the second leg, you're going to have to subscribe.
Yeah.
You're going to have to subscribe.
But you know what? We all grumble about it. And I've seen this with college football fans where they're like, I can't believe they're putting this Ohio State game on Peacock. What a joke. Anyway.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, they bought it. And they watched it. And it was like the most watched game, the most watched thing on Peacock ever.
Yeah.
Like, we will all eventually, if they do put something like this together, a Premier League playoff, we'll all complain about it. We will all watch it. And it will make more money than God.
I just don't. I 1,000% agree with you. But you already have, like, the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup.
Oh, no kidding.
Already.
You're right.
Their
no
own. The Carabao Cup specifically is already their own, like, playoff system. But imagine a world in which, like, because the way that this was doctored up was 18 teams, which is the same amount that MLS gets in.
Yeah.
There's only 20 teams in the Premier League. And that's why I thought this was so funny, because you had a playoff between, like, Luton and Nottingham Forest. And those two teams are actually, like, battling for relegation right now as we get into decision day. And so imagine a team, like, goes through the playoffs, wins this, like, Premier League version of it, and then gets relegated.
Yes, right.
Like,
yes.
We are the playoff champions, but we didn't get enough points, and we're out of the league now.
Could you imagine how that would change, like, the winter transfer window?
Yeah.
Where teams are like, hey, man, we're sitting in 10th, but we've got the bankroll now to, like, really go after some dudes and bring in some guys, and we hope that that gets us into a good enough seating where then suddenly by the end of the year we make a run. And
right.
I'm just saying, like, that would be totally different than everything we've seen with the Premier League. I am not rooting for it to happen.
No.
I am also acknowledging and cynically acknowledging that this is something that could, in fact, be a thing down the road.
Even for somewhere, there are dollars attached to it.
As much as everyone in England would protest and be mad and all that stuff, they protested the Superliga thing and then
got it canceled within like 48 hours.
Yeah. But then what have they done since then?
Changed the Champions League.
Yeah. They're going to do that eventually. They're going to get there. Like, we can all protest and we can all hate it. And I agree with that. And we should be very loud about it. the money people are going to make the money decisions, and they're going to eventually do what they want. And I hate that, but
like bringing regular season Premier League games here to the States, like that's
going
to happen.
They're going to do that. Did Spain ever officially say they're doing that?
I don't know about officially, but I know that
that's been a talk for years.
It's coming.
Right? Some leagues will do that. It will happen more and more. And obviously they'll point to the NFL and say, well, they do it.
Yeah.
They play over in Germany. They play over in England. What's the difference? And the argument will be yes, but lots of people like the Premier League because it isn't like the NFL. It isn't.
Correct.
Like the Bundesliga, I still remember the guy who ran the Bundesliga saying, we don't need to be the NFL. We're not trying to maximize every single inch and ounce and viewer that we can get. We are trying to keep the essence of this league and this game kind of similar to what it's always been, where you can go out here, you can pay a reasonable amount of money, you can have a good day watching your team play, and then you can get some reasonably priced food while you're there, cheaper drinks. They don't want to make every last dollar off of their consumers.
They could if they wanted to.
And I appreciate that. And I think it's that 50+1 model that the Bundesliga has, where they've always got to run things by the fans. And that's good. I'm sure it can be manipulated. I'm sure there's quirks to it that suck.
Yeah.
But overall, I like the fact that that's where their focus is. I don't think the idea is let's take the Premier League and even turn it more like the NFL than it already is. I think you've gone far enough in that regard anyway. Now you need to just that's the one thing that I think you will lose some soccer fans over, just probably not most of them in this country. Most of them in this country would go,
yeah, okay.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
It's going to benefit me.
Yeah. More of that stuff would happen. So, all right, Beam. Anything else you want to get to?
No, God no. I want to go home and take a nap.
I know. Me too.
Have fun on the show. Go Crew tonight.
I'll be here. Yeah, we're going to watch the Crew game tonight.
Watching that if I'm not asleep by 8 o'clock tonight.
I've got the show to do tonight, and as soon as I'm done at 6, I'm heading right to a band concert for my daughter.
Nice.
And then as soon as she's done with that, we're getting right over to the house and watching the Crew.
Metal show? Metal show?
Oh, no, like saxophone for school.
Metal sax.
There is a concert tonight. Better Lovers is in town if you're listening to this. If you went to it, I hope you had a good time. But yeah, Better Lovers is in town with a bunch of other cool bands, and I'm skipping that to go watch saxophone.
Good for you, Dad.
And I will never regret that ever in my life. I will never regret it. I'll never take it for granted. That's what I'm telling myself right now. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.